G'day everyone, and welcome back to Behind the Crime Scene. Before we dive into today's episode, please hit that subscribe button and ring the bell for notifications. It really helps us bring you the latest updates on Australia's most significant criminal cases. Today, we're breaking down the Victoria Police briefing regarding the manhunt for Desi Freeman, and I'll be presenting what police are claiming while letting you draw your own conclusions. Right. Let's get straight into this. Victoria Police are claiming they've just conducted what they call the largest tactical policing operation in Australia's history. That's their statement, the largest in our entire policing history. They brought in special operations groups from every state and territory, plus units from New Zealand. Over 125 specialist tactical members were deployed in what police describe as a necessary response. Police are clearly trying to demonstrate the scale of their commitment here. Whether this massive show of force is justified or excessive depends on your perspective on policing tactics and resource allocation. According to the police briefing, officers were searching through what they describe as brutal terrain, crawling through caves, traversing rivers and waterfalls in winter, searching plantations and gorges. Police emphasize this isn't a standard missing person search with volunteers walking in lines. They're positioning this as high-stakes tactical work. The emphasis on dangerous conditions serves the police narrative that they're going above and beyond. Critics might argue this theatrical description is meant to justify the enormous resource expenditure. The police commander was very specific in stating, "This is not a standard search operation." In their words, they're hunting for someone they label as armed and dangerous, who they claim has murdered two police officers. From the police perspective, every step their officers take could be dangerous. Now, here's something significant that police are promoting. They've slightly lifted travel warnings for the Porepunkah area. Police claim this shows they're balancing community needs with their operation. The national park remains closed and their search continues, but they want to be seen as allowing some return to normalcy. This move could be genuine community concern, or it could be tactical, making Freeman think they're scaling back when they're not. It also helps police manage criticism about economic impact on local businesses. Police are heavily promoting their $1 million reward, and they report over 1,100 information reports have come in. They're thanking the community for this engagement, positioning public cooperation as crucial to their efforts. 1,100 reports represents significant public engagement, though it's worth noting that rewards this large can generate many false leads and attention-seeking reports. When directly asked whether they believe Freeman is still in the area, police gave a carefully crafted response. They claim they're keeping all options open. He could be hiding locally, getting assistance, or could be dead. Police are deliberately maintaining uncertainty about his status. This response allows police to justify continuing their massive operation while also preparing the public for the possibility they might never find him alive. The family situation tells an interesting story. Police acknowledge Freeman's family has been interviewed but won't provide statements. Police say they're still trying to get family cooperation, but you can read the subtext. They're not getting what they want from that direction. Family reluctance to cooperate could stem from many factors: legal advice, distrust of Victoria Police given their controversial history, or simply not wanting to be involved in what they see as a police vendetta. Police confirm they're receiving information from other states, though they won't specify which ones for what they call operational reasons. They're positioning this as a national investigation while keeping the focus on the Alpine region for ground searches. The interstate angle allows police to justify the massive resource allocation while maintaining the narrative that Freeman could be anywhere. Police spend considerable time describing the tactical challenges: officers with dogs in cave systems, uneven terrain, wild animals, and the claimed threat that Freeman could be armed and waiting. They're painting a picture of heroic officers facing extreme dangers. This narrative serves to elevate the officers involved while justifying the military-style response. Some might see this as propaganda to generate public sympathy for police operations. When asked about evidence Freeman is alive in the area, police gave a telling response. "There's no evidence to say he's not. That's police speak for, "We haven't found a body, so we're assuming the worst case scenario." This response reveals that police are operating on assumptions rather than evidence. It also allows them to maintain the current operation level indefinitely. Here's something that clearly frustrated police. There were protests in Melbourne, and someone publicly expressed support for Freeman. The police response was diplomatically worded, but you could sense their irritation. They fell back on freedom of speech while expressing disappointment. Public support for Freeman reflects broader community frustration with Victoria Police. The fact that someone felt comfortable publicly supporting him suggests significant public distrust of police narratives. Police delivered what sounded like a direct message to Freeman. They claim this investigation will never end and that Freeman will always be pursued. They're offering what they call a safe surrender plan, while also making threats about eternal pursuit. This kind of theatrical messaging serves multiple purposes. It sounds tough for media consumption while potentially pressuring Freeman if he's monitoring coverage. 3 weeks in, and police insist their resolve hasn't changed. They're promoting the international assistance as proof of their commitment, though critics might see it as evidence of either incompetence or overkill. The extended timeline raises questions about police effectiveness. Either Freeman is exceptionally skilled at evading capture, or the terrain is more challenging than police initially assessed. Police acknowledge the enormous impact on local businesses and claim they're trying to balance community needs with their operation. The partial lifting of travel restrictions is positioned as police listening to community concerns. Economic pressure from affected businesses likely influenced this decision as much as operational considerations. Police can't ignore the political cost of indefinitely disrupting regional tourism. Police are particularly focused on burglaries at vacant properties, asking the community to report anything unusual immediately. They're essentially asking residents to become unpaid surveillance assets in their operation. This community deputization strategy spreads the surveillance net while potentially making residents complicit in the police operation, whether they support it or not. What stands out about this briefing is how carefully police are managing their public message. Everything is framed to maximize sympathy for their efforts while minimizing questions about proportionality or effectiveness. The media management aspect is as significant as the operational details. Police clearly understand this case has become as much about public perception as actual law enforcement. The fact that police are keeping all options open regarding Freeman's status shows they're operating with significant uncertainty while projecting confidence and control. Admitting uncertainty would undermine the narrative of police competence, so they frame not knowing as tactical flexibility rather than operational limitation. The technology question revealed another gap. When asked if Freeman has access to technology, police said there's no evidence of that. The technology question revealed another gap. When asked if Freeman has access to technology, police said there's no evidence of that. In 2024, complete digital silence is unusual unless someone is either dead, completely off-grid, or getting sophisticated help. The absence of digital footprints could support various theories, but police seem reluctant to speculate publicly about what this might mean. This manhunt has become a test of Victoria Police's resources, tactics, and public relations capabilities. It's positioned as being about justice for fallen officers, but it's also about police credibility and public confidence in law enforcement. The symbolic importance extends beyond Freeman himself. Victoria Police's reputation and authority are on trial as much as any individual. Police promise the search will continue with undiminished intensity, though they acknowledge it will evolve. Whether Freeman is alive or dead, hiding or being helped, police claim the investigation continues indefinitely. The commitment to continue indefinitely sounds determined, but it also raises questions about resource allocation and whether police can sustain this level of operation long term. Police consistently frame Freeman's alleged actions as the cause of all subsequent disruption. The massive manhunt, community impact, and resource expenditure are all attributed to his choices. This framing absolves police of responsibility for their tactical choices while making Freeman responsible not just for the original incident, but for all consequences of the police response. The message from Victoria Police is carefully crafted. They want to appear determined, competent, and justified in their massive response. They're asking for continued public support while managing expectations about timeline and outcomes. This level of message management suggests police understand they're under scrutiny, not just for finding Freeman, but for how they're conducting this operation. Whether Freeman is hiding somewhere in the Victorian Alps, getting help from supporters who distrust police, or lying dead in terrain too rugged to search, police are determined to control the narrative around their efforts. The reality is that 3 weeks in, with the largest operation in Australian police history, Freeman remains at large. What that says about police effectiveness, Freeman's capabilities, or the nature of this case remains an open question. That's all for today's episode of Behind the Crime Scene. I've presented what police are claiming. You can draw your own conclusions about their tactics, motivations, and effectiveness. If you found this analysis helpful, please subscribe and hit the notification bell. Share this with anyone following the Freeman case and let us know in the comments what you think about police handling of this situation. Until next time, stay safe out there.